Welcome to the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast. Here are your hosts, Blake, Tyler, and Rob.
Hello, and welcome into the Bag Clan Fantasy Football Podcast, week 16?
Right? 17.
17?
17, yeah.
I never remember. I'm almost always right. Yeah, championship week, everybody.
Yeah, that's all you really had to say was championship week.
Right. Yeah, champions or championship is going to be between myself and Hogs. We'll get into that later. Any words of reactions from last week from you guys?
No, other than you had your panties up in a bunch when it was very clear that shit was going to work out just fine. And ESPN had a very clear stat correction that they were going to make. And if they didn't make it, thousands of leagues were going to be impacted. But no, Blake's like, this is bullshit. This is bullshit.
I sent one text to Tyler.
Yeah.
One single text.
Well, I was on it too. And I told you, I looked at the, you know, even our rules just to double check for you. And it was a thing. So, and then it got corrected later. So you were fine. Well, it was only that way because Monty forgot to do like 11 things.
Yeah, you are in the championship because Monty played two zeros. So I don't want to hear a single word about it.
Well, one zero was a zero because the guy didn't play. The other zero was he did not know how the New England defense would do. He just would have rather played, you know, the Colts, who had four.
Right.
Somehow picked him up and didn't save and ended up playing. You know, and you look at the last time New England played that team, they actually scored points. So he could have ended up better off. He wasn't, but he could have. So
the last time New England played that team, it was also the Wind Bowl. So
that's true. That's true. You're right about that. Yeah.
The Dust Bowls of Kansas
in the winter.
And if I would have made the different flex play than what I did, nothing would have mattered, even if you played a starting tight end or a defense. So let's not even go into ifs and buts.
Yeah, candy and nuts. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. So like we said, we got normal news and notes this week, and then we'll hit the championship talk, go through the matchup on that, and then that's going to be about it. We'll have a special outro at the end, but otherwise it's going to be a short one.
We got a special segment right after the championship talk, but we'll get into that later.
Hot diggity.
I always forget the title.
So to be fair, normally those bumpers take a second to load. So I was anticipating when it would load to try to match up when you were done talking. It loaded immediately. That was amazing.
It sure did. It came on strong.
What bumper even was that?
That's the alternate news bumper. By the way, I'm using all of my alternate bumpers. I'm mixing them up. Because now that we got bumpers, I gotta throw them at you.
That's right. You don't know where it's coming. Left, right, middle.
You know, we're at the point where we need to like write up a schedule or like a, you know, something script or something so we actually know what's going on rather than just one of us just firing off random segments at everybody else.
We literally met before this. We're like, this is what we're going to do. And then you immediately were about to say, oh, yeah, I always forget about Tyler's bullshit. So fuck you.
Gentlemen, was that the news and notes bumper?
I guess it was.
All right.
Nobody really knows except for Tyler.
So we have,
yeah, a little bit, I guess I'll touch on last week. So a lot of these people are coming back this week, but last week was just as terrible as the week before was as far as the COVID stuff goes. Notable outs last week was Kelsey, Austin Eckler, Dalvin Cook, Mike Williams, Brandon Cooks, Cole Beasley. A lot of those people are returning. Some of them aren't, including Mike Williams, confirmed out for this week as well. Mike Williams also added to the COVID list. Carson Wentz out for COVID. He's unvaccinated, so that means Sam Ellinger's starting. A lot of COVID news is going on.
Yeah. So sure with the new rules, Wentz could be back in time. It's going to be really, really close. He would have to test negative, but again, they're saying if you're, I guess, what was the CDC's guidelines? They're saying if you're vaccinated and unsymptomatic, it's 5 days, right?
Yeah, right. And if you're unvaccinated, it's 10 days regardless.
Oh, okay. So then maybe he can't.
No, they actually are going to, they're actually going to a thing. If you can go five and you're showing symptom improvement, you don't have a fever any longer and you're showing symptom improvement, you can still get reinstated after five. So it at least gives the people who, which a lot of a vast percentage, or I should say, shouldn't say vast, a large percentage of the vaccinated people that had gotten COVID during the year were asymptomatic. And so the changes will allow for those people who are like, I didn't even know I had anything, and they tested positive and they had to sit out. They won't have to, because they won't have symptoms. And to be fair, if you look at the science of it, if you don't have symptoms, you can't really transmit anything. Boom, play.
Yeah. Also in COVID related news is Bruce Arians is confirmed out for at least on field for Tampa Bay's game this week. So they'll be coaching on field with a backup or backup coach.
Yeah. And I'm actually surprised that it's not going to be Leftwich. That's the on field, you know, head coach, because he seems like, you know, the Jags are already wanting to talk to him for their head coaching vacancy. It seems like a perfect thing where he gets his feet wet, but hey, I don't know the guy. I didn't recognize the guy's name of who it's going to be.
Yeah, I didn't either. But I believe I know why they're doing this. And they're doing it for their own reason, not to help Leftwich, you know, not to give him a thing, but they don't want to split his concentration. He's done a really good job as offensive coordinator. Let's not mess with that. Let's have one of these assistant coaches split their time up and not Leftwich, because we need, you know, we're already without Fournette. We're already without these receivers. Let's let him concentrate on that and not have to be head coach too.
Yeah, so what I got for news here is, I mean, probably the biggest news story coming out of last week is Cincinnati. Joe Burrow throws for, 525?
Yeah.
Against the Ravens, I believe.
Yeah. Fourth highest, I think it was.
Burrow has thrown for almost 1,000 yards in two games against the Ravens this year.
Yeah, so I got 940, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a great matchup for what the Bengals want to do against the Ravens defense. So it's great for the Bengals. And I think that's the biggest thing here. I'm not going to, you know, walk away saying, hey, this is what Burrow's going to do. And in fact, I think Burrow's going to have a down week against Kansas City, who's a borderline elite defense when they have all their guys healthy. So I don't expect that trend to continue, to say the least.
Yeah, those are two different defenses that attack you different ways. And just like you said, it's a really good matchup. What Baltimore wants to do and what Cincinnati wants to do on offense, they just don't meet up very well for Baltimore's sake.
So what is going on? I know we talked about it the last couple of weeks, but what the hell is going on in Carolina?
They're starting over next year.
With that quarterback situation, that entire offense, I don't really understand it.
Well, Darnold's getting a start this week. Cam's going to the bench. I guess they're going to see, now that he's supposedly healthy, what they've got, but they're going to redo that entire offense next year. I guess Rhule is probably staying on, more than likely replacing some offensive coaches. Their defense, you know, took a step forward this year, so that's probably not changing, but I don't know. You're not going – we've talked about this a bunch of times on this podcast. You're not going into a good year if you're searching for your quarterback. You're really not. This isn't the year to draft one high. So I don't know, but they've got to start over. They were terrible. Like you said, up and down, Jekyll. They were like a Jekyll and Hyde this year. They looked great. They looked terrible. They looked terrible. It didn't help that McCaffrey's been out a lot of the year.
Yeah, and the question really becomes, does Rhule come back? I personally think he should. I think he's a decent coach. But if he doesn't come back, I would certainly hope he gets another job. But I don't know. I mean, that defense has done a complete – I mean, look at what he had. That defense was in shambles when he got his hands on it. Like, and Kuechly had decided to retire out of nowhere. So you had nobody on that defense. That defense is good now. And if you put a good offense on the other side, that defense could become great. And so I think he should get, you know, another whack at it. Now, I don't know how that whack is going to go, like you said, because I don't know who the quarterback is going to be.
Exactly. We don't know who that's going to be.
Is McCaffrey still in? I don't know what the contract situation is, but does he stay in Carolina? I know we've talked about his role probably changing going forward, but I don't. Do they just say fuck it, blow it up, and try again? Or
yeah, he signed a big extension, so I think there will be too much dead money if they try to cut him or if they try to trade him.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that, but I do think that they will probably. They probably realize that they've utilized him maybe too much in every aspect of the game. Which is why he's now worn down in his, what, fifth year? Is this his fifth year, sixth year? I honestly don't know.
No, because I think he's only 25. So this has to only be his fourth. It's fourth or fifth, something like that.
Fourth or fifth. Okay.
Yeah.
Either way, I think they've realized, you know, he was one of the few backs that was like everything. You know, everybody else is who's got a good, I mean, look at what the, New Orleans did. They've got Kamara, who you'd think would be an everything back. They went and got people the last several years to try to supplement that. And then Kamara's been hurt recently too. So you just can't, in this day and age, you just can't have a running back that stays healthy. You've got to have two decent ones. You can't give everything to one guy.
Yeah, game's changing for sure. Cam Akers, so while we're on the subject of running backs, designated to return from IR last week, didn't play. Word is that he may start or may play this week.
Go ahead. I think the ballers hit this one on the head. If he plays this week, I think he gets maybe five touches, if that. I think it's totally a, you know, I think A, the activation was you need three games in a season to get a year for your pension, NFL pension. So that's what the activation was. And kudos to the Rams for that. Right. And so now with the Henderson injury, okay, let's try to get him worked in a little bit. But the number one goal that has to be coming out of this game is leave the game healthy. And if that means you get on the field for one snap and you just go back and pass block when there's max protection anyway, and you're just standing there kind of looking, fine. But the number one goal is leave the game healthy.
300%. That's exactly what this is. This isn't a last ditch effort to try to get him, you know, ready for a big, you know, load in the playoffs or anything like that. This is Sony Michel's show, at least until the actual real NFL playoffs start.
Right.
And then see what happens after he gets his three games in. You know, we can't predict the future. Sony Michel could get hurt, and then they have no choice but to play him.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and I think. It's God, I totally just brain sputtered. I think you could definitely see him in the real NFL playoffs, but nothing that you're going to use for fantasy, even if you have a week 18 championship.
Right.
Yeah. So you kind of hit it right there. Dipping into the injuries. Darrell Henderson hurt during the game last week with a knee sprain, put on IR early this week. So that's helps with Sony Michel owners. Also, with some running back news, Kerryon Johnson signed to the Eagles practice squad, and that's probably in response to Miles Sanders exiting last week with a hand injury. I didn't see a follow-up on what that hand injury was.
He broke it.
MRI or anything like that showed anything.
He broke it.
Yeah, he broke it. He's for sure out this week. They had hope he might be able to play if they make the playoffs, but they obviously, by picking up a guy, are hedging their bets.
CEH went down with a collarbone issue. MRI showed nothing serious, not like at least not a broken collarbone. I don't think they would play him this week, but
no, he's not playing this week. From what I've heard.
And if he does, you got to expect the classic Chiefs, like, hey, we're giving this running back 35%, this running back 35%, and this running back 30%.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Probably what he did is there's a lot of, He probably bruised the collarbone or some of the cartilage that's around there. He probably, messed that. At least it wasn't a full break, because then you're out 8 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks. But I don't think they'd endanger him for the playoffs. So I really highly doubt that he plays against Cincinnati this week.
Yeah, my memory's a little bit fuzzy of the Sunday games for, reasons. But mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Romo was casting that game, and I heard him say something about, I know a little bit something about collarbone injuries, and that looks like a collarbone injury to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably the biggest running back injury news is James Robinson, torn Achilles early in that game, first quarter, I believe, out for the season. Obviously, it's a torn Achilles, so that's terrible for him. Sucks. Yeah. He's a rising star as far as running backs go. So,
yeah, this is another one that could be a career ender. I mean, undrafted guy who, yeah, he's been great, but I think your better comp rather than Cam Akers is Donta Foreman, where he could come back. It might take 4 years and it might take three injuries in front of him to get him on the field. But yeah, this is bad.
Yeah. 100% agree, because he was never like a, you know, you worry about your speed and all that. He was never a speedster. He's more of a plotter, a guy who, you know, used his power. He wasn't exactly agile and all that, you know, which is why they so many times tried to get rid of him, it seemed. The new regime is going to use this as a reason to either get a new running back or...
Well, they got ETN coming back.
I was just going to say, or use their other pick from this year that hurt himself at the beginning of the year. So maybe. I don't know. I'd start over if I was Jacksonville. I don't think ETN is a back you can build around. Sorry. So I think they need something new. Trade for Emmett. If you want to do something, Jacksonville, trade for Zeke is what I meant to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's low cost of like four firsts. He's totally not washed at all. Don't listen to anybody that says that. He's great.
He's great. Trade for Zeke. You'll have something to draw people to the freaking show. So,
Garoppolo. Thumb sprain. I think I read something about he had a chipped bone in his hand. I'm not sure what his availability to play is, but the word is that Trey Lance has looked the best month that he's had in practice has been the last month.
Yeah, and that's setting the bar fairly low for him. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like Garoppolo's injury is serious, but we've seen with his coaching staff already that they're going to do whatever they can to get Garoppolo on the field, and they're still vying for the playoffs. So
there.
I picked up Trey Lance in another league where I, you know, could use a flyer at quarterback. I have Stafford against who are they playing this? Oh, against Baltimore, who should be fine. But again, it's a standard league. So, you know, that rushing upside trumps everything. And last time Lance started, he had 85 yards rushing and almost had a touchdown. So I'm picking him up. And if he plays, I think I'm going to play him. And it's gross, but here we are.
I mean, if I'm the 49ers, I would much – you're playing the Texans, for crying out loud. 4-11. If Garoppolo's anything and you're hoping to go somewhere and you really do have faith that Garoppolo can take you into the playoffs far, you're playing Lance this week against the lowly Texans and hoping Garoppolo's fine next week.
Oh, and even then, it's not like you're throwing your, you know, highly drafted rookie quarterback out there to get killed. It's the Texans.
Right, it's the Texans.
Like,
exactly. That's what I'm
like,
saying.
And the Texans' defense isn't bad, but like, but you have a lot of opportunities for your defense to make up for your mistakes.
Exactly. So if it's a question at all, I would play Lance if I'm the 49ers here.
A couple pass catcher injuries. Thielen finally had surgery on that ankle that's been bothering him, or whatever the case is. It is a lower leg injury, but he's out for the year. And then Waller put on IR, effectively ending his season as well.
Yeah. Both teams seemed to hope that they were coming back, so they didn't put them on IR right away. And then, so while owners have been sitting on them for 2-3 weeks, then they finally do it just before championship week. You say, nope, they're gone forever. So people who had them could have planned if they'd have just done it at the beginning, but oh well.
Yeah, we saw the writing on the wall pretty much watching the Vikings game on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Thielen came in and out 2-3 times throughout that game.
And this is who Thielen has been with injuries. He's a guy that, like, desperately wants to be on the field, and for some reason, nobody will tell him no.
Yeah, and then he hurts himself.
Right, he hurts himself worse. So, yeah, and that's the thing. We don't know if this is the ankle injury was still bothering him or if he hurt it worse this last game. And it very well could be that he hurt it worse to the point where he needed surgery because he came back too soon.
Because I think it was a hamstring injury that held him out for those last
high two ankle.
Or was it ankle? Okay. Because it looked like he re-aggravated a hamstring on one of those plays. Maybe it was just.
No, he got tackled by the legs and immediately came up very upset and limped off.
Yeah.
I want to use that term. Let's get that going. Hashtag Hankle for a high ankle sprain. Just Hankle.
Yeah. Tweet it at our Twitter. Tag us in it.
Yeah. Tag us. Hankle. Get that started.
Anything I missed, guys? I think I scrolled through pretty much everything.
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
I can't either. Good job.
I've been doing a lot better ever since I started actually writing down notes before the podcast starts.
Hot damn.
Congrats.
Preparation is key. All right, let's hit into some activities, some transactions, and then talk about our picks.
This shit's unbelievable. I checked the accounts receivable. It's inconceivable to think that you would fuck with me on the brink of my transaction.
All right, so nothing happened when Ravers ran, except Whitefish did some stuff that nobody cares about.
Exactly.
I did make three moves before the podcast started, just so we had something to talk about. I added Boston Scott and Keyshawn Vaughn and dropped Matt Burrito. Oh, and then I also, before I refreshed this page, I added Zay Jones as well.
All right.
That's it. That's all the transactions there were since last Wednesday.
Yeah,
so all right. I'm glad we played the bumper for that. Let's move on.
It was worth it. The bumper was longer than the transactions.
Yeah. Go team. Do we have a bumper for picks, Tyler?
Oh, yeah. We have a new bumper.
All right. Good.
Alternate bumper, baby.
Go Bulldogs.
Yale Bulldogs.
Wow.
Not so fast.
I had to make a bumper for picks with Lee Corso going not so fast.
Not so fast.
That's from a commercial, isn't it? That tune?
It may be a corporate beat that's under a jingle.
Yeah, it does sound like
that. That is vaguely popular on TikTok right now.
Gotcha. All right.
So long story short, I went out on a limb last week and took CSS, and if he had done what he was supposed to, I would have been right. Instead, I went 1-1 and everybody else went 2-0.
Suck it. Even the dice?
Yep.
Oh my. And for the year, where are we at?
For the year, you want the year or you want overall? Like all time.
Fine, let's go all time.
All right. All time. Rob is still in first at 170 and 100.
Woo.
So that's an even 63%. Blake is 165 and 106 for about a 61%. I'm 159 and 111 for about a 59%. And the dice are 36 and 32 for a 53%. Would you imagine the dice that are almost quite literally flipping a coin are almost right at 50%? It's amazing.
Amazing how that works.
Amazing how the sample levels out over time.
Sure does.
Tyler, I'm going to say you're rolling this week.
I cannot. I continually leave my dice downstairs before podcast.
I'll roll this week.
Oh, okay, fine.
No, Blake can't roll. Blake's in the thing.
Oh, yeah, you're in the thing. You can't roll. I'm rolling. You can pick the dice.
I was going to roll a percent die.
Well, that's just wild.
Yeah, I know. That's the point.
They're all even. That doesn't work.
You're right.
Yeah, that is.
Bad. No, they're not. Well, we would go off of like the first digit.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
I got you.
So why wouldn't you just roll a D10 then?
Because we've never rolled one of these before, and it'd be goofy.
Okay, it is goofy, and I'm doing it
for the pure chaos of it.
All right, fine, got it.
All right. With further ado, we can head into our one matchup this week, the championship.
All right, I'm just gonna play the. Do you want to announce the team so I can just play both bumpers back to back?
Oh,
sure. Like I said earlier, we got the Fighting Hedgehogs coming in as the number 5 seed. No, 3 seed.
Yeah, number 3, I think. And they won points, so they were definitely a strong contender.
Number 3 seed, 8-5-1, their regular season record, versus the Backdoor Hot Snakes coming in a 9-5 regular season record and the number 1 seed.
We'll be right back.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Can't wait.
I can never remember which one of those I've edited to trail off or not. But here's our matchup bumper.
All right.
As a cat, how did that hedgehog get so fat? Tell me how. Overweight hedgehog, did you eat dog food to get supersized? Now you swim in a bathtub to get exercise. Tell me how. Overweight hedgehog, the scientists say it's wrong. You eat like that, you won't live too long.
You feel that? Oh, shit.
I have hot snakes, you guys.
What's hot snakes?
It's when the diarrhea comes out like a hot snake.
Andy!
I get hot snakes and bubble gut.
That was my favorite one I've ever made. That's my favorite.
The bubble gut is what got me.
Oh my god, that's my favorite one I've ever made.
Oh, back to live action. Oh my god.
How do we continue on after that?
We go with the quarterbacks.
All right. Well, this team or this matchup is currently in the favor of the Fighting Hedgehogs. Projected 167. To the Hot Snakes, 145. All right, let's work our way through this matchup here and try to get past what happened just a little bit ago.
All right.
Quarterbacks. Hogs has Pat Mahomes at Cincinnati versus the Snakes' Matt Stafford at Baltimore. I almost said Buffalo.
Guys, I made that bumper, and I still cried laughing about it. Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, boy, I'm going to say give me Stafford because Baltimore is really bad against the pass right now. But this could easily turn into a push or a Mahomes win.
Yeah, I mean, that's almost exactly what I was going to say because literally Baltimore just gave up, you know, tons of yards to Burrow. And I believe Stafford can do the same thing. They're down a weapon since Bobby Trees has been out, but they still have great talent. But yeah, Mahomes, and it's that time of year, and Cincinnati, I still think, can move the ball against them, even though they've got, like you said earlier, an elite defense. I'm going to give an edge to Stafford, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a push or Mahomes actually pulls this.
Yeah, there's a pretty common theme going through this matchup, and that theme is Blake not happy.
Well, we'll find out here. Well, you won't be happy the next one for sure.
Right. Running back, RB1, Jonathan Taylor. We could just stop there, honestly. That's all.
No, we can't. No, we cannot.
Okay. The Hogs also have Ronald Jones at the Jets. Taylor's playing the Raiders, by the way. Fournette's out. That's all I'll say there.
Well, that and the Jets are
terrible.
Yeah, they're a broken fence for a run defense. Like, yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I will say about that matchup, though, is, I mean, Keyshawn Vaughn is in his second year at running back. The Bucks might just run a whole bunch and then just throw in their rookie and see what they got. I don't know. That's speculation.
Yeah, but I think before they do that, Rojo's going to get his.
Probably. My running backs, I got David Montgomery against the Giants and then Nick Chubb at Pittsburgh.
I mean, we talked about it sort of with the already that Taylor and Jones really have the edge here by quite a bit. The Giants, even though they're terrible, have not played bad on defense. I mean, Chubb should still be okay against Pittsburgh, but they also have not played terrible on defense. So I like Taylor and Jones a lot.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't see a single way outside of injury that Blake can win this matchup.
You talking about the overall thing or just the
running? No, the running backs.
The running backs.
Because there's a legit chance that Taylor and Jones finish 1-2 on the week.
Yeah, you about deflated me completely. Even though I'm already I got like half my air already let out. You about just let the rest of it out of my head. So,
well, I mean, let's be conservative. Taylor and Jones to me are surefire top tens this week. Montgomery and Chubb are going to have to play their best games and have everything go for them just to breathe on the top 10 this week. So that's the problem.
All righty. So receivers, we got Devontae Adams against Minnesota and Hollywood Brown against the Rams for the Hogs versus the Snakes, Tyreek Hill at Cincy and Amari Cooper home against Arizona.
Well, Devontae Adams is playing the worst team against receivers, maybe outside of Baltimore. That's no bueno. That's bad news for Blake time. Hollywood Brown, I don't know if he'll get the Ramsey treatment or if Ramsey will just kind of stay on one side of the field against them. But okay. Tyreek Hill, great. You got a good matchup there. But your opponent has Mahomes, so you guys are kind of, you know, and Mahomes, I think Mahomes obviously has more ways to score, whereas Tyreek is reliant on Mahomes. So that's not in Blake's favor. And then Cooper could definitely get it done. However, I think this last game against the football team, they made a concerted effort to get Cooper involved. And so I think this flips to go back to a Lamb game because we've already heard the reports or not even the reports. We've heard straight from Cooper and Lamb that they get into the huddle on some plays and they go and Lamb will go, Coop, this is my turn to get a touchdown. And then they switch, you know, what sides they're going to be on because, you know, okay, it's his turn to get work. So I do think that Lamb is the guy this week for Dallas.
For me, obviously, Adams, we already talked about, is the alpha here. I don't like Brown against the Rams, so that helps. If Tyreek Hill has a Tyreek Hill game against Cincinnati, and Cooper, who does better at home than he does on the road, Blake has a shot here. Because of Adams, I'm going to give the receivers an edge to the Hogs. Because Hill has had games where he's, you know, thrown out 4 for 24, that kind of thing. And same with Cooper. But if Hill and Cooper can have their game, Blake has the chance. He has the better ceiling where I think Hogs have the way greater floor.
Yeah. And let me just look here because let's see, Cincinnati. It's really balanced where they give their fantasy points to. They're the 11th best matchup against or for running backs, 12th best for receivers, 8th best for tight ends, middle of the road for quarterbacks. So there's really no clear way from a fantasy football standpoint to see where they're going to give the points to. So, yeah, I mean, you just have to hope that it's a Tyreek game and go from there. And I did see kind of to add on to that, since we don't have Kelsey in this matchup, there was a very informal study done just for fantasy purposes, not for health or anything like that, that looked at players coming off of the COVID list in their first game back. And all in all, we see about a 20% drop in production. Now, how much of that is actually health related? How much of that is being outside of the building? How much of that is, you know, just the break in their flow? Who knows? But you know, that's something that maybe Blake can hang his hat on is that, you know, okay, Kelsey might not have as good of a game being away from the team. And it might be a Hill game. And especially with CEH out, you know, but again, Darrell Williams, we know, has stepped in and been just fine.
But even with, at least with Kelsey in there, he'll draw attention. Right? You've
right.
got to cover him, so.
Tight ends. Mark Andrews, home against the Rams for the Hogs versus Rob Gronkowski at the Jets.
So for me, if the Rams do what I think they should do, you talked about Ramsey. He's not going to follow Marquise Brown because Marquise Brown isn't that good enough a player. If I am the Rams, I Ramsey up on Andrews, and I make sure Andrews doesn't get 120 yards on us. If they do that, I favor Gronk here against the Jets because, like you said, there's swinging door at all levels of defense, so it doesn't really matter. So I like Gronk, especially with the receiver problems. They have the running back problems. I don't know. I have not heard reports that the Rams would do that, but if they did, that would be a thing that would put it in Gronk's favor. That risk makes this very even for me.
Yeah, 100%. If the Rams were to do that, I would definitely swing that to Gronk's side. I mean, the Jets give up points to two places. The running back, they give up all of the points to, and the tight end. And they're, you know, like 8-10 for the best matchup. So, yeah, I'm going to call it even. Obviously, I'd prefer to have Andrews. But like you said, that could turn if the Rams decide, you know, to take him away.
Yeah, it would be the smartest thing they could do, especially with – won't it be his first game, Lamar's first game back?
So Lamar was out on the practice field today with a very, very noticeable limp. I think it would be
that he probably doesn't play again.
Yeah. I think that he's just still getting right. I think it's the backup Huntley.
So given that, if the Rams do not Ramsey up Andrews, that's where Huntley has been leaning on, which would be the smart thing. I mean, that's exactly what I would do if I was the Rams to shut this offense down.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's why I risk it even, because I think there is a very good chance that they do that.
Yeah, Huntley has looked great as a backup for.
He honestly has in that offense. Craven.
Yeah, I mean, if you're one of these teams, Carolina, a football team that misses out on who your guy is in the draft, and Huntley's out there, is he somebody that you take a look at? And you know, I don't know if you'll have to give big money to him or not, because I don't want to give him a Matt Flynn contract.
No, but I think you've hit it on the head. I think he is a guy that Carolina should target. You tried to do it with a washed up Cam Newton, and you saw flashes of what they could do when he like actually could throw a pass. And you also saw what you can do when he can't throw a pass, which is about 50% of the time. Well, you get Huntley in there. I think you're right on track. I think you put Huntley in that Carolina offense with the weapons that they've got. Holy mackerel, you have something.
Yeah, and I mean, even if Carolina decides to continue pursuing Deshaun Watson, you know, we still anticipate some sort of suspension coming down. So if you play the first eight games with Huntley and then flip over to Watson, it's not like you're changing your playbook. You know, you're obviously making it more complicated, but, it looks like Huntley's on a 1-year deal. Free agent Robin has an ERFA tag. Do you know what that is?
Yeah. I forget what the E is, but it's just, he's a restricted free agent.
Oh, so they can choose to match.
They can choose to match. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Already.
So they'll have to, another team will have to give him enough money that the Ravens would be like, no, we're not paying that to a backup.
Yeah, they'd have to do like a 3-year, you know, $16 million, $17 million contract.
Yeah, I was going to say like 21 maybe.
Okay.
If you were desperate.
Yeah, if you were desperate, yeah. Or something with like a bunch of triggers that like if you take us to this, you get a $10 million bonus, you know, some kind of thing.
But see, the Ravens would match that. Because what they wouldn't want is guaranteed money.
True. True. They would have to, yeah, never mind. They'd have to put in some poison pill. Yep. But it would be if we made the playoffs, regardless of whether you started or not.
Right.
Then that would be a thing. Yeah. Right. And poison pills are still real.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. In all sports.
All right.
Is it my turn now?
Yeah, yeah.
We only got one matchup. We can go long.
Come on.
But there's one realm of sports in general, especially football, that I don't know anything about just yet and haven't touched, is contracting. Don't understand that whatsoever.
Yeah,
that was some interesting banter right
let's,
there.
Let's let the accountants talk about the numbers here. You can be the guy that just goes and watch the combine and is like, yeah, that guy looks good in shorts. We'll draft him.
Yeah. Let AP and AR handle the rest.
All righty. The flex positions for this matchup. You got Cordero Patterson at Buffalo and Christian Kirk at Dallas for the Hogs. And then my uh-oh zone. That's what I'm calling my two flexes this week is the uh-ohs. I've got Tony Pollard home against Arizona and Sony Michel at Baltimore in there right now.
I mean, look, Patterson and Kirk clearly have the better baseline. I think you have an okay shot at Michelle having a decent game. Obviously, Baltimore is a great run defense, but they give up everything to the pass. And then it comes down to what you get out of your second flex. I don't love Pollard as a second flex here. And I don't know what, you know, does Keyshawn Vaughn offer you more upside? Maybe. Oh, yeah, Zeke's down there. Why is Zeke down there?
Because he's
scared. I mean, Zeke is the consistent points, right? Zeke's going to get you 15 this year. Pollard could splash, but I think the splash play, if you want a splash play, is Vaughn. And he does exactly what he did last week, goes 7 for 70, you know, gets limited work, but breaks one.
All right. So based on what he's got, we'll go into backups here in a second. Or benches. What do you think? I mean, I'll go into it.
I don't think I can pick Kirk against Patterson and Kirk. Kirk's been great.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm scared of Patterson this week. He has been really good. He's been scoring touchdowns, but it's Buffalo for crying out loud. Buffalo's defense is very good. Atlanta's going to be on the road at Buffalo. I have no idea what the weather's going to be. He probably will score a touchdown. He'll probably get you in the teens.
But the only thing that Buffalo has given up this year is to running backs.
I know.
They're a bottom matchup against everybody else, but they're middle of the pack against running backs.
Yeah. Kirk could hit a big one against Dallas, but you know, I thought last week that Scary Terry could hit one against Dallas and
Dallas. Oh, I'm not even looking at Kirk as a big play guy. I'm looking at him as a PPR.
Is a PPR. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like the Pollard pick necessarily. I do think Sony Michel gets – we already talked about him. I think he gets a lot of run in this game. I think he does better than expected because he's done better than expected all year. I still have to give – it's really even slight edge to Kirk and Patterson just because I don't like – I'm not sure I would play Pollard here.
Yeah.
All right.
Ready? Yeah, my – I mean,
We'll talk about your bench.
Yeah, we'll both go through both benches. So I'm looking at Hedgehog's bench.
Defense. What about defenses,
Tyler? Oh, right. No one cares about defense. They should be removed from the league.
No.
Shut up. The Bills.
Home defenses, points matter.
And then the Snakes is going to have the Cowboys defense against Arizona.
Yeah, Atlanta is a great matchup for defense. I'm sorry, even if you have the Cowboys – I got to take the Bills here. I have to.
I mean, I do too, but even when the Cowboys give up yards, they get pick sixes or fumble returns or something. So I don't think it's going to be – I don't think it's that different, but I do think because Atlanta is that more inept in offense that the Bills come out ahead. But, I mean – what did Dallas score this last week? 26, 27 points?
Yeah, but let's look at that. So the, what, five times in the last 7 weeks, they've been above 14, right?
Okay.
Look at the offenses. Atlanta, they scored 22. New Orleans with, third string?
That was the first Taysom. The first Taysom start.
But he got hurt mid-game, 18. Washington, 25. Giants, 14. Washington, 27.
Washington's not good.
Yeah, the two games that they have been below 14 have been against Kansas City and Vegas, which are actually not inept offenses most of the time.
Yeah.
And before that, Minnesota and Denver, but that was a long time ago. That was before Lawrence was back and everything like that. So,
yeah.
Look, I think the Cowboys have a great baseline as far as the defense goes. I would just rather have the Bills in my lineup.
Yeah, I think Cowboys go 14 points here this week. And I think the Bills could score 18 to 20.
Oh, if the Cowboys score 14, then I would switch my pick to them instantly. Any any defense that you think is going to get more than 10, I think is the pick. I just think that the Bills have a better chance to score higher than the Cowboys.
I guarantee both get above 10, but both get above 10.
You want to dollar bet that?
Yep. Both defenses above 10.
Blake, you want in on one of these?
Yeah, I'll be on Rob's side. I think both will score in double digits.
All right, yeah. So you guys are each a dollar, and I'm the 50-cent payout if I lose, right?
Sure, why not?
Sure.
Perfect, I'll put it in.
All right, let's do it.
Okie doke. So, who wants the Hogs bench?
We'll both talk about both of them because...
Yeah, let's do that since we only got one matchup, yeah.
All right, go ahead and hit the Hogs then.
Yeah, right. I guess I'll lead the Hogs bench, and we'll both talk about them. Right, number one thing I see here, there's not a lot of options. Odell Beckham, man, I'll tell you what, I'd potentially be playing him over Hollywood, especially with the backup in there. Like you said, he's been targeting Mark Andrews, and Beckham goes up against that terrible Baltimore secondary.
Yep.
I think Beckham's got to be in there and Brown's got to be on the bench. What about you, Rob?
I would 100% do that, not only because I think he has a better chance, but I would split my Baltimore.
Yep. You increase your upside.
Correct, because I'm spreading my risk out. So yep. 100% I would play Odell instead of Marquise Brown. That is the only choice I think you can make here.
Yep. All right, why don't you take us through hot stakes, and I'll comment there.
All right, so for snakes, I mean, we kind of talked, if you really want to shoot the moon, you know, you put that Keyshawn Vaughn in there instead of Pollard. If you're worried about the Dallas split against Arizona, how that's going to work out, for me, I would play Zeke. I would play Zeke and not Pollard. He's getting healthier and healthier. Every game he's done a little bit better. Yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, I mean, we talked, I guess, looking at this, we covered pretty much all the options there when we were talking earlier. I personally would be playing Vaughn just because I think you need that high upside shot. And God, that could certainly backfire. But like you said, I just don't think it comes from Zeke or Pollard.
I agree 100%. I mean...
And I think they're trying to get this passing offense right before the playoffs.
Yeah. And I'm not going to play Gordon. You know, even though Chargers are a good run funnel, the last time he played him, he only got 9 points. So I'm not doing that. Yeah. I'm sitting on those guys.
So let me throw a couple things at you.
All right.
The last 3 weeks, Zach Ertz has had 7, then 10, then 11 targets. I mean, we know Dallas is better against a tight end than they were in years past, but I mean, it's Zach Ertz. He knows how to play against the Dallas.
I think I'd rather play one of the Cowboys running backs because at that point, I think you're just looking for stable points. You're not shooting for the moon. And at that point, yeah, give me Zeke. And cause I just think he has a better chance at scoring, you know?
Yeah, okay. Agreed. Plus, you know, if you're going to look at the last 4 weeks, the best you've gotten out of Ertz is 13 points. I believe that Zeke can get you at least that and a chance for more. So, yeah.
I mean, the last 3 weeks, I've gotten 16 out of Zeke twice and 8. Well, it's
16 is more than 13.
I mean, you're right. So the reason why I had Pollard in there was to, you know, spark some conversation, but also, I don't know. It just, to me and my heart of hearts projection is the Zeke will get, you know, the bulk of the work, but then Arizona's that kind of defense where the change of pace back, like Tony Pollard, can come in and really break one of those. And I think he has a more established track record of doing that than Keyshawn Vaughn does.
I agree 100%. And the fact that you have a matchup that's against you by almost 20 points, or is it more than 20? I didn't even look.
Right.
Maybe you got to shoot for that Pollard 50-yard run, you know, from midfield type thing.
But that's the thing. I think Vaughn has a better shot at that because the Jets are just so bad on the ground. And this could, like Blake said, with Rojo, where he was saying this could turn into a boat race and they could turn to Vaughn. I completely agree with that. I just think Rojo is going to get his first, but I still think they could turn to Vaughn and Vaughn could put up 100.
I mean, they could, but oh God, do you want to depend on that or against Pollard's guaranteed touches?
No, I'll be stressed out all day. I'm going to be stressed out anyway.
I mean,
you know what I think? Boy,
here's
the thing. You know what I think I might do?
Dallas is a 3 o'clock game. You can see where you're at after the noon games.
No, but Vaughn is noon. So you have to decide on Vaughn. You have to decide on Vaughn going into the morning.
Unless I get stupid and bench Sonny Michel, which I don't think I can do.
I don't think you can either. But maybe no, I don't think you can. I don't think you can. I think what you would do is you would sit and see where you're at going into the afternoon games. If you're really close, then I stick with Zeke. If you need some up, I'd play Pollard. I can't put my money in Keyshawn Vaughn.
And the benefit that Blake does have is only two of Ryan's players, as it stands right now, well, even if he put Odell in, are after the noon games. So, yeah, Blake's going to have a pretty good idea of what it's going to take to win. So, in that scenario, I'm buying more into the play the Zeke Pollard matchup and, you know, see where you're at 3 o'clock.
Yep.
You know, and latching on to that was going to be real annoying is if come Monday night, I have Nick Chubb left and I'm down 20 points.
Yeah.
Which is a very real scenario and which is going to make me, I don't know, smash my head through a wall.
Well, don't do that.
All right. I guess let's have the dice go first. Rob.
All right. The dice rolled a 60.
So even, I assume.
Yep.
So that they're going hogs.
All right.
Rob, you're next.
I'm sorry. I have to go hogs. You have too many things that have to go perfect for you, Blake. And usually when that happens, I take the other because hogs can weather a bad thing here, a bad thing there. You cannot. So I got to go hogs.
Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, there's only one of these teams that I really look at and think that they can boogie. And well, I'll tell you what. Boogie, boogie, hedgehog, boogie, boogie, hedgehog, boogie, boogie, hedgehog,
boogie, boogie, hedgehog, boogie, boogie, hedgehog. Yeah, that's enough of that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going hogs.
No, that's too much of that. No, and I hate to do it. I mean, I haven't really picked against myself all year.
Oh, are you pulling a Rob?
No, I truly.
Boo! That's my stick.
I think there's too much that has to go right for me. And like I said, and you know, it's the championship. I don't know. I just contradicted myself.
Lone wolf it, Blake. Lone wolf.
Now I believe in myself. I'm taking snakes.
There you go.
You're that close, Ryan. You're that close to getting a clean sweep for the championship, but, you know.
Lone wolf.
It's my team. I got to go with them.
There you go. You care more about you than you do your record.
Yeah, I mean, and on, like I was saying, I am
like myself.
I will probably lose.
That's all right.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, since I figured this was going to be a little bit of a shorter podcast, I put together a game for you guys. If you guys want to play,
sure.
I mean, it's been almost an hour, hasn't it?
No,
like
it's been like 45.
Yeah,
we're like a solid 45 right now.
Yeah.
Quiet, you. So the game we're playing is Who Am I? And what's that?
I hate this game.
Oh, it's great. Because I have all the answers and you have none.
Solid.
I will give you guys a hint at the start. These three guys, outside of being offensive players, all have something in common. Okay. And I'll give you guys the first stat and you guys can guess, and I'll give you a bonus point if you get it right there. Otherwise, first point goes to whoever guesses it right. First one, this player has finished 8 full games with their starting quarterback. In those games, he's finished as the wide receiver 1 time. He's finished inside the top 20, 5 times, and outside the top 20 only twice. And one of those was 26. Any preliminary guesses?
Played with his starting quarterback, you said 8 times.
Yep.
My first just gut check one was DJ Moore.
No. Rob?
Wow. A quarterback who hasn't started much.
This guy's a wide receiver.
No, but I'm thinking of a quarterback who hasn't started much.
Right.
Or has at least missed some games. Yeah, actually, DJ Moore is a really good guess, Blake.
I thought so.
TikTok, because silence makes for a really good podcast.
Well, I don't know. Let's go with Seattle. Why can't I never think of his name?
Come on.
Not Metcalf, but...
Lockett.
Let's go with that.
Damn. All right. For your first hint, this guy is wide receiver 17 in Bag Clan scoring, but was drafted in the 12th round.
Is it Brandon Cooks?
It is not.
Damn it.
That's actually a good guess.
Like, that's a huge good guess.
Yeah, that's a really good guess.
Yeah.
I felt real good about that one.
Yeah, I would have too.
Yeah, I would have too.
5, 4, 3.
Waddle.
Rob got it. Rob gets the point.
Did you look that up, you prick?
Sure didn't, maybe.
Oh, you prick. Close your ESPN tab.
It's gone. Ooh.
What a prick.
I saw you looking at your computer screen while you were thinking.
Yeah, I'm not giving Rob a point. Close out of your ESPNs. That's no fun.
I did. It's gone.
All right. The other hints I was going to give you was I had a significant injury last year, which is part of the reason I started slow.
Oh, well, that would have been easy there.
My NFL quarterback was also my college quarterback. And at one point in time, we had 3 starting NFL quarterbacks on our roster.
Oh.
Because at one point they had Hurts, Mac Jones, and Tua.
Yes.
And then my last one was my quarterback is a witch and should be burned at the stake for being left-handed.
Tua, yes.
There you go. So no points because Rob's a cheating whore.
Fine. I didn't have to admit it.
Yeah, you all knew.
I'm a good person. All right, go ahead.
Next one.
Fine.
There are 3 wide receivers this year that have 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. 2 of them are the wide receivers 1 and 2 in Devontae Adams and Cooper Kupp in opposite order. Who is the third?
Justin Jefferson?
No. I don't believe he meets the touchdown threshold because he definitely has the yards.
Yeah, he does have the yards. Touchdowns. Who's had a lot of... No, Mike Williams hasn't had enough touchdowns.
Blake, stop it. I see you typing.
I'm not typing.
You're typing. Blake, stop.
Blake!
I'm not typing.
You guys are such pricks.
No, I'm off. Here's my hands. I'm looking right at you. Okay, so 10 touchdowns over 1,000 yards, yes?
1,000 and 10.
Let's go Justin Jefferson.
That's what I said.
That's what Blake already said.
You lose. Then never mind. No, I didn't listen.
First hand. This wide receiver is wide receiver 6 on the season.
Oh, I got one.
Didn't say it.
Godwin.
No. Godwin is wide receiver 8 on the season.
Damn. Blake, stop looking at your computer.
I have to. That's where you guys are.
Oh, you're looking at you. What do you say?
I don't know. I want to say Deebo Samuel, but I don't think he has 1,000 receiving yards.
I don't think he does either.
Yeah, he does.
I'm trying to think of who would have.
I'm counting that as your guess because we've spent a lot of time waiting for guests.
Yes, we have. Yeah.
This player has never posted back-to-back weeks with over 16 points this year. So up and down.
Up and down. I want to say a person, but he's been hurt. So
Jamar Chase.
Blake gets it.
Oh, nice job, Blake.
The last two were my teammate and I are the only current wide receiver duo to have both 1,000 yards, Chase and Higgins.
But I would have got it.
And then the last one was I play in the AFC North.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Good guess, Blake.
Last one for who am I?
We're really tied. I want to see both your hands
the entire time. Because I have my suspicions about Blake during that last one.
I do too.
I mean, I'll be honest. I was when you guys said, well, you're looking at your computer, I was looking at Tyreek Hill's stats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't count either.
All right. So this one, we're looking at the highest receiving grade out wide versus press coverage in 2021 per PFF. Okay. Highest receiving grade out wide versus press. Here are 4 of the top 5. You're looking for number 2.
Okay.
Number 1 is Justin Jefferson.
Okay.
Number 2 is DeAndre Hopkins.
Really?
Number 3 is Antonio Brown. And number 4 is AJ Brown. And I'll put those in chat for both of you guys.
You said you're looking for number 2. You mean number 5.
No, you're looking for number 2.
Well, you said the number 2 is DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, number 2 without. So 3, 4, and 5.
3, 4, 5, yeah. 2 is in there. I got a guess.
Go for it.
Pittman.
No.
Damn.
Outside press coverage?
Yep. Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb?
No. Your first hint is this player has over 100 targets this year.
Whoa. That's a lot of targets.
Let me get a Mike Williams.
No.
This is the wide receiver you said, yes?
This is an offensive player.
Mark Andrews.
No.
Damn!
Despite my target volume, I've only had 2 games with more than 6 receptions.
Okay. Blake. No, I got one.
100 targets.
Kelsey.
No.
Damn! Son of a bitch!
Is it a cowboy?
No, and that's your guess. I am one of 3 players in the top 30 of receiving yardage to have less than 5 touchdowns on the season. I have 1.
What? Kyle Pitts?
Kyle Pitts.
Oh, goddamn.
The last 2 I had were I'm on pace to fall 1 yard short of breaking a 60-year record, which is the Ditka rookie tight end receiving, and I am not a wide receiver. Was the last
I'm one. Not a wide receiver.
That one was more so just pointing out how insane Kyle Pitts is as an athlete. And I really think just how his managers have been disappointed purely based on the lack of touchdown production. And that's
all. If you're next year, look out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it depends on what the quarterback's going to be there because I mean, Matt Ryan's washed up. We all know that.
I don't care. That guy is insanely talented.
Well, I think I think Blake wins that one because there was cheating on the first two, and then Blake got the third one.
Fine. He wins by one.
I didn't cheat on the second one. I didn't even have a chance to look at Tyreek Hill's stats after I opened him up.
But you were looking after we said don't look.
I didn't search for the answer, at least, you dickhead.
I didn't search for the answer. There were three people I could have chosen from. And I picked one.
Sucker. All right. So, Tori, coming to the end here.
No, do we have another game? I want another game.
No, sorry.
Well, I'll just say we'll do our postseason podcast. It probably won't be next week. It'll be sometime in the next few weeks. Sometime when we're all three together, because that's how we like to do it.
True.
So be ready for that one. Secondly, I don't know exactly what Tyler has to put together, but I know Rob. We were talking about John Madden at the end of the podcast here. Recently passed. I know Rob. You have the most exposure out of the three of us as far as what John Madden was in your life. So I don't know if you wanted to say something first, or Tyler, you're waving at me.
No. Yeah. No, I just had to, for the exact reason you're saying, I was just going to say something short to let Rob go. I think when people say that John Madden was the soundtrack of football, I think that's the easiest way. And I know that he wanted to be remembered more for his career as a coach. And obviously that was way before my time, but look at his impact in the Madden series and his impact in the booth. And I think he really almost single-handedly brought an entirely new generation of football fans.
Yeah. Before Rob, you go, I saw a clip of John Madden when he was in the broadcast booth this morning. It was during a Thanksgiving Day broadcast. So he said, turkey and football, nothing belongs together better. And I think turkey, football, and John Madden. I think those, John Madden is synonymous with football. And like I said, I've never experienced him in the broadcast, but obviously as a coach, but that's what John Madden is, football, to me. So Rob, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, I mean, I saw him all the time growing up as a broadcaster. I was not watching football. I was, too old to see him when he coached the Raiders. But like you said, Dallas was always on, obviously, Thanksgiving, and they were the Fox team that always did the Thanksgiving games. He's the one that started the whole turducken thing. The turkey inside of a duck, inside of a whatever, a chicken or a chicken duck, whatever, however it went. That was John Madden. So, and Pat Summerall was the one that always did the Dallas game. So the two of them are synonymous to me and Dallas. And then I started playing video games, obviously, as a kid. The first Madden game I played all the Maddens. I have the current Madden. So for me, it's hard to describe because Madden has been with me since I was a kid. Since I got into football, I've known who John Madden was. When I saw that he'd passed, I know he was in his 80s, but it was still, it's a blow to the entire football community. I mean, you saw all the people that reached out. Everybody, you looked at the ESPN report, it's everybody on Yahoo, on CBS, whatever. I'll just echo that it's, if you're into football, you're into John Madden. I mean, you cannot be. So I don't know what else to say other than I marvel at the man. There is nobody else. Jerry Jones put it best either yesterday or today when he said something along the lines that there are very few people that are mountains of men in football. But when I think of John Madden, he's one of them.
Right.
And that's, I will echo that comment that's it. There's very few people that when you think of the NFL and a mountain of a man that just was everything to the NFL in all aspects, not just coaching, not just brought everything. He brought NFL to everybody who knows who Madden is. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've listened to the footballers yet today, but Jason was telling.
I have not.
Yeah. Jason was telling a story about how he had heard when Madden got involved in the development for Madden, the game, right?
Yes.
EA Sports said, look, it's going to be too hard to program. We got to go down to 7-on-7. And Madden said, no, that's not like, yes, that's real football, but it has to be 11-on-11. Like, and so really he is part of the reason we have such advancements in sports games today is because he pushed 11-on-11 right away. And yeah, I mean, just thinking about how you said, you know, legends and pillars of the game, right? You think of Lombardi, you think of Halas, especially if you're a Bears fan. And I think, I don't know that I can think of another one outside of Madden. You know, I mean,
Tom Landry, maybe because of that, right, and everything, you know,
right. But, I mean, you, yes, you can start to talk about some of the most influential players and stuff like that. But, but yeah, I mean,
there's only so many pillars. If you're talking of Mount Rushmore of the NFL, Madden's one of them. I'm sorry.
Oh, for absolutely.
Yeah. So
Peyton.
Who?
Walter Payton, man of the year.
No.
No.
No. It's one of the biggest rewards of the year.
No. People who made the NFL. Madden's up there. Lombardi's up there. And I would have to debate the other two.
Right.
But you got those two. Those two are for sure. I mean, the damn trophy's named after Lombardi. Come on.
Right. All right. Well, all I have, guys. No, all I have is a little short clip and then we'll play the outro. But no, obviously, legend of the game. And I mean, you want to say gone too soon. I mean, the guy's 85, but
like
you said, it's just you're losing a pillar, right?
Here's the thing. They were just advertising on TV a John Madden, a big to-do on ESPN that they were having like a big series and stuff.
Yeah, it just came out on Christmas, I think, or the day after.
Right. Yes. And then all of a sudden this happens. It's like,
right.
So it's sudden. Like they said, and they haven't given any details. We have no idea what happened. You know, it's sad for football. It really is. It really is a blow for football. So let's do your outro. And
you'll hear John Madden hear it. And I think this was from the movie Little Giants. But right. I thought it was good.
All right.
Listen, there's no big secret to winning football. It's just doing what these guys do every game. Just go out and give it your best. Bottom line, I took a team to a Super Bowl and we won. I even had some guys on that team that know what he wanted. But we were a team. And that's what you guys are. You're a football team. That's kind of like a family. Except you get to hit each other. But you have to stick together. Do that, you'll be fine.